Go ahead and dismiss kids if you want to go to Children's Church. They're ready for you, heading that direction, and you can go your way. Tammy, where'd you do that clicker that isn't working? I might need that. Thanks. We'll give it a shot anyway. Well, it is a wonderful story, the story of Christmas and all that goes on this time of year. I hope that you are not stressing out too much about Christmas and actually able to enjoy the true meaning of Christmas. It's fun to do a lot of different traditions. We have a lot of different traditions. One of the traditions that is particularly a favorite of mine is the giving of gifts. Now, I don't mind receiving gifts, I'll be honest. I don't mind receiving gifts, but I really enjoy giving. That's one of those love languages that I have. I do love to give gifts. And, you know, I was thinking about what a wonderful, wonderful tradition this gift giving is. The idea of being able to express and reach out and love people and minister to them. But I have to ask the question, why do we give gifts? By that I mean, what's the motivation? What is the motivation behind us giving gifts? Now, these aren't necessarily bad motivations. I'm thinking there's lots of reasons why we give gifts. One of the reasons we give gifts is because people need stuff. I can tell you that when I was a kid growing up, Christmas time was a chance to get a new set of clothes, and usually by then I would need a set of clothes. It was well enough into the year where school had taken its toll on some of my jeans or on a shirt or whatever, and we didn't have a lot of those things. So, you know, it was something that I needed and I would get, or food. People get food because they need it. And we like to give those kinds of gifts for those reasons. It's a demonstration of love. Sometimes we give gifts just to be funny. Now, this was on a t-shirt. It's okay. They will just think Santa ate them. My girls have given me some gifts down through the years. I'll share a few of them that are just to be funny. I do wear them at Christmas time, on Christmas Day, while we're opening presents, and that's about the end of it. My slippers, those, they keep you very warm, and I'm so hot-blooded I can't wear them too long. And this is the one that really got me one year. That we wear while I'm passing out presents at our house. They gave me those gifts just to be funny and to have some fun at this time of year. That's great. We can give gifts for that purpose, for that reason. A lot of us give because we love people. We're motivated because we love them. You know, and it's interesting as you think about these that the reality is we can give for a lot of reasons, sometimes several reasons all at one time. The reason my children give me funny gifts is because they know I'll enjoy them and they love me, and vice versa. So that's a great motivation reason to give gifts is out of love. Now, here's one that you might think, oh, that sounds bad. Obligated to, and by that, you know, if you're obligated to give, if you feel a sense of duty to give, we may think, well, that's not the best motivation for giving, but sometimes that's a necessary thing, right? We're obligated to give. Somebody gives you something, you feel like you have to give them something back. That's an obligation. But sometimes we can fit in here a sense of duty, a sense of responsibility, and those aren't necessarily negative motives. Now, there are some negative motives for gift giving. We can give for a whole lot of reasons. Here's one, to educate. Well, that's not negative, is it, kids? to educate somebody. Toys, you look for toys to, well, kids think it's negative, right? Toys that help them learn the alphabet, learn their numbers, how to say certain things. How about this to influence? You give me money and I will, you wash my hands, I'll wash yours, things will go right. We might frown on that a little bit, right? Or how about this idea? You're giving just because you want to clean out your closet to get rid of your stuff in your closet. I had a daughter, I won't name any names, so I'll give you her initials, Grace, who was cleaning out her room, and she kept coming out, you want this? Do you want this? Do you want that? She needs to do that a lot more. Y'all need to come over and get a few things. How about give to impress? Sometimes we give things to people, or some people give things to people to impress people, to make either that, if your spouse gave you a Lamborghini Countach, you would be impressed. If you were my wife, whenever I tried to give her something expensive, she was mad at me because she knew we didn't have the money. But I wanted to express my love. But how about if you're given a new car, that's pretty impressive. And you may not even be you may be expressing love to your spouse, but trying to impress the neighbors when you give such a gift. There's a whole lot of reasons for giving. And I want to get to the idea of God's gift to us. I want you to think for just a few minutes this morning about what did God give us? Now, those of you who have been to Sunday school all your life say that's an easy answer, it's Jesus. God gave us Jesus, and indeed that is true. He is a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the gift. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Shall not perish but have everlasting life. In that verse, Jesus is a gift. God gave his Son. You also pick up very quickly in that verse the motivation for him giving his Son. It's important for us to kind of grab a hold of that, the understanding of the motivation he loved. For God so loved the world that he gave. The reality is, as you think about it, we had a desperate need. We needed a Savior. We needed somebody who could pay sin's price for us. It's a great motivation, that love that God had for us. But the reality is, if you look further into the Word of God, you begin to understand that the motivation simply wasn't just to save us and to redeem us. That is a powerful motivation. His love is a powerful motivation, but he also sent his Son. He gave us his Son to eventually establish his rule and reign upon the face of the earth. We get that in the Old Testament prophecy there in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it talks about that. It talks about the government being upon his shoulders. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. I want you to continue to think, though, because Jesus isn't just a gift. Jesus was also a payment for a gift. When God gave his Son, he gave him for a purpose. The purpose was to go to the cross and to die in our place. How about this verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. It's very, very clear as you go through the reason why he came. He came to pay sin's price. Romans 6:23, some of you know that. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is a gift. He was sent out of love. The motivation was love and his eventual ruling and reigning upon the throne. Eternal life is a gift, and that gift was bought and paid for at a high cost through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the only gift. The reality is there's a gift that keeps on giving. That gift of eternal life. Think about that. On and on and on through eternity, we will enjoy, if we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, a relationship with God. That really was at the crux of why he came, to reestablish that relationship. You know, the Word of God indicates that the moment we come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, he gives us another gift, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1 says this, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise." That means you have the Holy Spirit of God who has taken up residence within you and is guiding you and directing you and teaching you and instructing you. Have you ever thought about the Word of God as a gift? It's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful gift. I wonder how many times we utilize the wonderful gift that the Lord gave us through his word. I wonder how many times do you open up the Word of God and study it? How many times? I don't know if you've thought about that. The Word of God. It is a wonderful gift. James says this, "In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures." Of course, the Word of God talks about spiritual gifts. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, says this, "But to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gifts." If you think about spiritual gifts, and you think about that statement there, the measure of God's gift. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks there about a variety of gifts. It talks there about the idea of each and every believer being given gifts to build one another up and to encourage one another and to lift one another up and to be bound together. It's a wonderful gift because it connects us. Not only are we connected to the Father, but we're to be connected with one another. How about the gift of God's grace? To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of God's gift, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. the very act of God's grace, a gift. That He gives us that unmerited favor. So think about this for a moment. God gives us gift after gift after gift after gift. What are they? Well, Jesus, eternal life, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, spiritual gifts. Actually, the Word of God says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. That includes God's grace. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father. But then we stop and ask the question, what was the motivation? Because when we started out, we talked about our motivation for giving gifts, and we got to some that weren't too good. To influence, to impress, to get people off our back. There could be any number of reasons why we give. Motivations that aren't pure, see what we can get out of somebody. But when we consider the motivations of God, love. Love was the motivation for giving the Lord Jesus Christ and for the plan of salvation. Our need, we had a desperate need. And God knew that we could not go alone, we could not redeem ourselves. To right wrongs, God is holy and He hates sin and He holds the sinner accountable. And yet He wants to have a restored relationship with us. But think about this for a moment. Those are not the only motivations. There is another motivation, and there are probably many others, but there is another motivation that God gave. And this is it, that He would get the glory that He is due. Now, Christian, I want you to think about that for a moment. Is your life shining the glory of God? It is quite a challenge, isn't it? For us to live a life that reflects our relationship with God our Father, to live in such a way that we do not bring Him shame, but we build Him up in front of other people. We can't do that when we're building ourselves up. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I don't know. I've heard of people having birthday parties for Jesus every year, birthday cakes. It's a good way to help kids to think about what the real meaning of the season is all about. I was talking with one lady this past week, and she said when she was a kid, she went to Sunday school at a Baptist church, and then she was sent for a midweek at some other several different denominations. And she said, "When I went to the Baptist church and came home, my mom asked me how it was." And she said, "Well, I don't know whether I should go there anymore because why not?" "Oh, I didn't like it very much." Why not? "Because they were talking about a guy that wasn't there, and it's not nice to talk about somebody who isn't there." "Well, who were they talking about?" "Well, this guy named Jesus. He wasn't there, but they kept talking about him." The reality is that you and I have this wonderful gift of eternal life if we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was motivated by the love of God for the purpose of bringing glory to God. That's the point. That's the point. And I'm going to give you another gift. But I hope you will think about that as you go into this Christmas, that the gifts you give will be motivated by love, that the gifts you have in Christ you will recognize and see, and that you will live them out in a way that brings glory to God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are very mindful of our need for you. We're very mindful of your love and devotion, the commitments you made. We ask, Lord, that you will work in the hearts and lives. If there is anyone here that has not received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, help them to believe, help their eyes to be opened, help them to see their great need. Help them to recognize they cannot save themselves. They are dependent upon you. And we ask, Lord, that you will just help us as believers, those of us who know and love you, to live out our life in a way that does bring you glory and honor. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.